Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for loving us, for saving us. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that makes this life of Christ reality to us. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, I just ask you for an anointing of the Holy Spirit. I know that I have your Spirit, I always do, but Lord, I'm asking for a special manifestation, a special outpouring of your grace, of your Spirit into my lips and into my mind and into the hearts and the ears and the minds of these that are here today to receive your word, that your word would profit them, Lord, that it would be mixed with faith, that it would be written not on their minds, not on their intellects, but on the tables of their heart, Lord. God, I praise you in Jesus' name. I pray that you'd work mightily today. I pray that you'd rescue people, Lord, that are wandering. Rescue sheep that are lost, God. I pray that you'd come and do mighty things among us today for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The title of this message today is The Bummer Sheep. The Bummer Sheep. Today, as you know, is Palm Sunday. It's 1 week before we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, or Easter, as it's commonly called. This was the day in Jesus' day, not specifically this day of the calendar, but Palm Sunday was the day of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The people took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." They rightly called him the King of Israel, but he had not come to conquer Rome, to conquer their political enemies, but he had come to restore men and women back to the God that they had strayed from. He came as the final Passover lamb to take away the sins of the world. As John the Baptist saw him coming to him in the Jordan, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Praise God. Praise God. He came not as a king to reign, but as a lamb to die. Earthly kings and rulers reign by the power of their army, but they reign by the power of their power of their army to take the life of those that oppose them. But Jesus reigns because he laid down his life for the life of those that hated him. What a confounding love. What a surprising, difficult to understand love. Luke 9:56, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You wouldn't think that by some of the preaching that goes on in a lot of churches. You'd think that Jesus came to destroy your life. No, he came to save it. He came to redeem it. He came to rescue. Jesus' primary purpose in coming from heaven to earth was a search and rescue mission. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus is both the Lamb of God and the Good Shepherd. John 10:11-12 says, Jesus speaking said, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd," in other words, a hired hand, "one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." We know that the sheep refer to those who belong to the shepherd, those who've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. We become his sheep by believing and following his voice, and his pasture is eternal life. John 10:26 says this, "But you do not believe because you're not my sheep, as I said to you." See, belief is what makes you a sheep. Belief is what made Aaron's dad a sheep. He may have had infant faith. He may never gone on to grow and be sanctified and grow up into the full stature of Christ. But he had saving faith. To have faith makes you a sheep, a child of God. Verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Just as it is Jesus' mission to search and to rescue his sheep, the enemy's mission is to catch and scatter the sheep. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Verse 12, we just read it. And he, or Satan, attempts to snatch them out of his hand, but he's not able. He can't. No one is greater than the Son and the Father. He can't snatch them out of his hand. He can do damage. He can speak lies. He can lead them astray by deceiving them. But he can't snatch them out of the Father's hand. I believe there are two kinds of lost sheep. Those that are yet to be saved, and those that have been saved and brought into the fold, brought into the kingdom, but they've wandered into the mountains and become lost. Jesus goes after both kinds of lost sheep. Praise God. Matthew 18, 12 through 13. "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does it not he leave the 99 and go," where? "To the mountains to seek that one that is straying. And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over 99 that did not go astray." Praise God. What is the heart of Jesus? It's to go after the lost sheep. And when he finds it, he rejoices. He rejoices. Think about that. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 5 and 9 and 10. I'm going to read this passage through Ezekiel, and I'm going to tell you that this was one of the founding scriptures for Oxano Church. God spoke to me powerfully in prayer through this passage as far as his heart and his burden for this church. And the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel 34, 1, saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel," or the pastors of Israel. "Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds," or the pastors, "woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" Isn't that what I've called a shepherd to do? Is to feed my sheep? But they're feeding themselves. Verse 3, "You eat the fat and you clothe yourself with the wool from the sheep. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock." Listen to verse 4. "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those that were sick, nor have you bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought that which was lost, or looked for that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." I'm going to tell you something. That's what religion does. Religion will take a man and say, "I want to be a pastor. I want to have a platform." And that man will take the platform. And without the heart of Jesus Christ to serve God and to serve the sheep, he'll stop feeding the sheep and he'll start feeding himself from the sheep. And it becomes all about that man. And what will happen over time is he will begin to treat the sheep with force and cruelty. That's what dead religion does. Verse 5 says, "So they were scattered." We read about it in Matthew, that the enemy wants to scatter the sheep. It says, "So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." Verse 9, "Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep." God says, "I'm going to take you out of that position, that platform. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep and their shepherds, and the shepherds will feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths that they may no longer be food for them." This, the type we have today in American churches, is ministers ministering for their own gain, for their own reputation, for their own financial gain. They're making the sheep into food for themselves. They're hirelings. They don't care about the sheep. They care about how many numbers they have in their church. They care about building programs. They care about how many likes they get on their social media. They care about themselves. Jesus said, if you seek not the honor of the Father, how can you believe? You're seeking honor for yourself. You're all about your own praise. Not a true shepherd. He says, I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep. I will deliver my flock from their mouths. Ezekiel 34, same chapter, verse 11 and 12. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. That's what God is doing in this last hour. He is seeking his own sheep, those that were scattered. He says, I will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. Verse 12, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day that he's among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. You know what? Jesus came for the church. He came for the sheep. And he loves the sheep. The church is not about the shepherds. The church is about the sheep. The shepherds are simply instruments to feed and strengthen and bless the sheep. But Jesus is about the sheep. Well, I'm a shepherd, but I'm also a sheep. But my job is to just take what God has given me and share it with you. And to be faithful and to love the church of Jesus Christ, to love the people that he's brought into my care, and to be faithful. That's my job. And I pray for the heart of a true shepherd. I pray for the heart of a true pastor, the heart of Jesus. Listen. Where were they scattered? It says, I will seek out and deliver my sheep that were scattered on the dark and the cloudy day. Where were they scattered? Ezekiel 34:6 says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over the face of all the earth, and no one was seeking for them. No man cared. He said, I myself will search out my sheep. Verse 15 says, I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down. Jesus here, the word of God here in Ezekiel is speaking prophetically of Christ, the true shepherd coming for his sheep. He says, I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down. In other words, I'll bring peace to them. Sheep are very dumb animals. They don't lie down unless they're at perfect peace. And someone once said, they said, sheep are only dumb when they're afraid, but they're always afraid. They're always afraid. But Jesus said, I will seek out my flock and I will make them lie down. I will bring them into peace. Praise God. Verse 16, I will seek what was lost and bring back that which was driven away. I will bind up the broken and strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Jesus spoke to me in prayer about 6 months before I started this church, when he was birthing the vision for this church in me, and he brought me to this passage, and he showed me, Aaron, there are many scattered sheep. There are many wounded sheep. They've come into churches, and they've been wounded. They've not been received. They've not been fed. They've been pushed and pushed with shoulder and pushed with head, and they've been pushed away. They've been wounded. And I'm raising you up to go after these kind of sheep, to love them, to make Oxano Church a place where they can be sought after, found, bound, healed, and fed. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know how he's going to do that. I mean, he's given me the heart for that. I don't know how he's going to bring those hurting people here. Maybe some of them are already here being bound and healed and fed and built up. But that's up to him. I'll go where he tells me to go. I'll preach where he tells me to preach. But all I can do is what he shows me to do. He's the healer. He's the feeder. He's the great shepherd and overseer of the sheep. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that Oxano Church is only one of many places of refuge for lost sheep to return and find safety. I am so blessed to know many faithful pastors who have received the great shepherd's heart to feed and protect their sheep. I don't think I'm special. I'm just one of many. I'm so thankful there are other men of God who love Christ and love the sheep. But Jesus said that the last days would be marked by many false Christs. Christ means anointed. There are many claiming to be anointed and seeking to have men's applause and worship. They use Jesus and his teaching to get men to follow them rather than the good shepherd. And they become abusive to his sheep. They rule with force and with cruelty. Do you know what the mark of a person who's a false Christ? They want to draw men away after themselves. Paul said it in Acts chapter 20. He said, I'm crying, I'm weeping before you, Ephesian elders, because I know that after my departing, that grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock, and they will draw men away after themselves. The true man or woman of God is always pointing people to Christ. They're saying, I'm nothing except a conduit, a vessel, just another child of God like you. I'm pointing you to Jesus. He's the one with the life. He's the one with the victory. He's the one with the bread. Praise God. I pray that I would never abuse his sheep that he's called me to feed and to protect. Luke 15, 4 through 7 says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Jesus goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. He's not a quitter. He's faithful. He's not a hireling that sees trouble coming, that sees conflict coming, that sees danger coming and runs away. No, he fights the enemy. He'll stand up to the wolf. And when a sheep wanders from the fold, he goes after it until he finds it. And when he's found it, verse 5, he lays it on his shoulders. I love that. Rejoicing. You see, there's contact. There's physical touch. Jesus wants to touch our lives. He wants to carry us. He's not a distant God. He's a God that's near. He wants to put us on his shoulders and carry us when we're wounded. When we've wandered, praise God. He puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Praise God. And he carries it back to the flock, all the while rejoicing at the reunion. I thank God that Jesus doesn't come and find a lost sheep and say, how did you get here? You dummy. I mean, what were you thinking? Why did you wander? What's the matter with you? There's no condemnation. No, he comes and he rescues his sheep and he rejoices. He puts it on his shoulders and he goes back rejoicing. Glory to God. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying with them, rejoice with me. I found my sheep, which was lost. Look, we're the friends and the neighbors, those still in the church that haven't wandered. When Jesus brings a lost one home, what are we to do? We're to join Jesus in rejoicing. Jesus, praise God, they're come home. Praise God, you rescued them. Hallelujah. Verse 7. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just or righteous persons who need no repentance. Zephaniah 3:17 goes along so well with what we just read. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. Think of him with that sheep on his shoulders. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. Another version says, he will quiet you with his love. Remember that sheep being made to lay down, being brought peace so that it can lay down in the green pastures? He will quiet you. How? With his love. With his love. He will joy over you with singing. I imagine Jesus getting that sheep, putting it on his shoulders, and rejoicing and just singing to that sheep, calming its fears, bringing it home. We just can't wait to get back to the flock, get back and tell everybody he's got his sheep again. Praise God. Now I want to tell you about the bummer sheep or the bummer lamb. A lamb, at least in today's language, is a baby sheep, and a ewe is a mature female sheep, often a mother. I've heard you pronounce yo, but so if I say yo or you know I'm talking about the same thing. Every once in a while, I took this off the internet, I want to read this. Every once in a while, a ewe, a female sheep, a mother, will give birth to a lamb and reject it. There are many reasons why she may do this. If the lamb is returned to the ewe, the mother may even kick the poor animal away. Once a ewe rejects one of her lambs, she will never change her mind. These little lambs will hang their heads so low that it looks like something is wrong with their neck. Their spirit is broken. These lambs are called bummer lambs. Unless the shepherd intervenes, that lamb will die, rejected and alone. Do you know what the shepherd, or what the good shepherd, does? He takes that rejected little one into his home. He hand feeds it and keeps it warm by the fire. He will wrap it up with blankets and hold it to his chest so the bummer can hear his heartbeat. Once the lamb is strong enough, the shepherd will place it back in the field with the rest of the flock. But that sheep never forgets how the shepherd cared for him when his mother rejected him. When the shepherd calls for the flock, guess who runs to him first? That's right, the bummer sheep. He knows his voice intimately. It's not that the bummer lamb is loved more. It just knows intimately the one who loves it. I took that from Embracing Brokenness Ministries. But I have another story, and this is a true story of a friend of mine. He was my best friend growing up in Madison, Wisconsin. We were best buddies. He taught me how to shoot .22. We did everything together. His name is Greg, and we were best buddies. And now he lives in Rochester, Minnesota. And how many of you know it's cold in Wisconsin in the winter? How many of you know it's colder in Rochester? It's colder. So several years ago, my childhood best friend, Greg, decided to buy and care for 7 sheep at his 30-acre property in Rochester. If I remember right, he went and got the sheep with his 2 kids, and you know they were like early teens or like 10 or 9 or 10, and decided to just bring them home, and his wife sees them coming down the driveway with these sheep, and she's like, I don't believe this. You bought the sheep? You really did this? So I think she kind of put it off on Greg, like, okay, fine. If you want the sheep, you got to care for them, if my memory serves me right. One cold winter, one of the sheep became pregnant. Greg went out to the sheep pen. He knew that there was a couple of the sheep were pregnant, so they were checking on a regular basis to see if they gave birth. And he went out to the sheep pen, and he found that the mother had given birth to a little lamb, and it was stuck under one of the pieces of the fencing or the gate. It was just trapped there. And so he went to the lamb, and he released it, and he brought it to the mother. And the mother refused the lamb. And Greg tried. He said, for like half a day, I kept trying to bring that little lamb to the mother, and the mother would push it away with its head, and even kicked at the lamb. He said, I tried till I knew she wasn't going to receive it. Totally rejected by the mother. So Greg called up one of his shepherd friends that had more experience than him, and he's like, I got a problem here. This little lamb was just given birth to, and the mother has rejected it. It kept one of the lambs, but it rejected this other one. What do I do? He said, well, you can feed it, but you got to feed it by hand. You got to take it into your house and nurse it. So Greg took that little lamb, and he put a straw down its throat, and he mixed some formula for lambs, and he fed that lamb. He held it to himself. And after a few days, he was able to bottle feed it. But Greg noticed something that happened almost instantly when he took that lamb to himself. It bonded to him. And he said it was so funny. My wife was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. They bring this lamb into the house, and it was bouncing and jumping and like touching Greg's leg. And everywhere Greg went, there's that lamb following him. Everywhere he went, like a dog, just attached to him, loving him. And Greg said that he eventually, they're like after like 3 or 4 days, that the lamb was strong enough. They made a little pen in the garage. They put the lamb in the garage, and every time Greg would open the door, if it was Shelly, his wife, you know, it wouldn't really react, but if it was Greg, that little lamb would jump up and down and be so excited, just at his voice or at his appearance. He said it was really, really something. And eventually Greg had to take that sheep and bring it back to the fold once it was strong enough. After a couple months, he took the sheep, and he said, I didn't even have to carry it. I just walked, and it just followed me. It just followed me. It was right by me. And after that, after it had been in the fold, when Greg would ever appear just to call the ewes for food, he had something he would say about feeding time. He said, the first one to come was the bummer lamb. The first one to run to him was the bummer lamb. The one that was jumping up and down in the pen, prancing around, dancing, was the bummer lamb. Praise God. Greg's love had healed this little lamb's fear of returning to the place she was rejected by her mother. Think about that. When it came time for Greg to take the lamb back into the pen with the other sheep, the lamb didn't resist. The lamb wasn't afraid, because perfect love casts out fear. Greg's love was a type of Christ's love that casts out the fear of rejection. And that little lamb came back into the fold, was able to function in the fold with the other sheep. Praise God. Think about that. Greg rescued this thing and cared for it when this little lamb was in a desperate crisis, and that love made her strong. Praise God. John 10:4 says, and when Jesus puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Even if the person closest to you rejects you, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, the love of Jesus will never forsake you. He picks up the bummer lamb. He holds it close to himself. He saves it. Hallelujah. When Jesus goes after us and rescues us from our brokenness, he imprints himself into our spirit. We're like Greg's bummer lamb. Jesus has not only saved our souls, but he's won our hearts by rescuing us and carrying us on his shoulders. In nature, imprinting is when a young animal comes to recognize another animal or person or thing as a parent or as an object of habitual trust. I love that. Imprinting is when that animal comes to recognize another person as an object of habitual trust. That little bummer lamb trusted Greg implicitly. It had imprinted on him. As soon as Greg showed it affection and care, the mother had rejected it, lost its chance to imprint on the mother. It imprinted on Greg. In nature, some animals imprint on the first creature they bond with by sight and touch, usually the mother. But look at the beautiful parallel with the bummer sheep and imprinting. Let me ask you, have you imprinted on Jesus? Have you cried out to him in your mess, in your lostness, and found him to come to your rescue, put you on his shoulders, and sing over you with rejoicing? Has he become the object of your habitual trust? Do you prance and get excited at the presence and the voice of Jesus? I'm telling you, if you've experienced that love of Christ rescuing you. Following Christ is not a dead religion. It's not an obligation. It's not a one Sunday a month or a week or three times a week. It's the presence of Christ that makes you dance and rejoice and sing, because he sings over you, because he's done something for you in your crisis. Praise God. Just as Jesus is the good shepherd and goes after the lost sheep and the bummer sheep, the church is to be like him in the earth. We are to care for those who are lost and scattered. We're to seek to bring them to the safety of the shepherd. When people are in distress and we act like the bride of Jesus, bringing in the oil and the wine of healing, they will be drawn to the Jesus in us. They'll be drawn to the Savior. How many bummer sheep are out there suffering in the pain and the rejection of this world, and they're looking for rescue? They're looking for some child of God to just show them Jesus coming to them in their crisis. You know, the greatest opportunity to make a powerful impact on someone is when they're in a crisis, is when they're in their lowest place, when they're broken by life or by rejection. Think of the opportunity in this world. Think of how dark it is out there, friends. Think of it. Think of how many opportunities there are in our workplace, in our friendships, in our family, to show this incredible love of Christ. He came to seek and to save the lost. We're just the vessels of his grace. He's the good shepherd. We're the hands and feet. He's the head. The glory goes to him. I said earlier there's two kinds of lost sheep, those yet to be saved and those who are his sheep but have wandered from the fold. In Psalm 107, we see several different examples of his redeemed people wandering from him. And in each case, the sheep wandered from the shepherd, but in each case, he rescued them when they cried out to him. I'm going to close with this passage in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 8. This is one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible. I love this psalm. There's so much hope. There's so much contrast. There's so much darkness and light. Listen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This is a psalm to the redeemed, guys, not to the lost. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse 3, and he's gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. We read that some sheep end up on the mountain. Here these people wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This speaks of those who return to the wilderness of this world. They've been saved, but somehow the world entices them to come back. The true sheep ends up hungry and thirsty because they have a new nature. They have a new digestive system. And when they go back to the world, they have a little pleasure, but they're like, I can't digest this anymore. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Why? Because they are a true child of God and the world can't satisfy them anymore. Praise God. Then they cried out. Listen, verse 6. Then what did they do? They were hungry and thirsty. They decided, I'm not going to stay here, just like the prodigal son. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And he said, oh, that's right. It's better for me in my father's house. And it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he what? Said, how did you get here, you stupid sheep? No. Thank God. He delivered them out of their distresses. Praise God. And he led them forth by the right way, back into the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Praise God. Those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God. Listen, God didn't move away from you. God doesn't wander from us. We wander from him. It says, they were bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. These are the people that go back to the old sins that once held them captive. Well, you'd think it'd be hopeless for them, right? It says they rebelled against the words of God. They despised God's counsel. So they came back into affliction and irons that they once were freed from. It says, therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Again, they have a new nature. They're like, there's a pressing of God on his children. He brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Why does God do this? Why does he let our sins bring us back into a low place? Because he wants us to cry out to him. He wants to rescue us. Praise God. It says, then They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He didn't say, I saved you once. I broke your chains once. You went back to your sins. You're done for. Thank God, he said. It says they cried to the Lord, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He saved them. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Glory to God. He broke the chains they bound themselves with after being free the first time. They foolishly went back to those broken chains and they bound themselves with it again. They got out the welder and welded their own bondage again. But Jesus didn't leave them there. When they cried out, he broke their chains again. Glory to God. He broke, it says in verse 16, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Glory to God. What a Savior. What a merciful God. What a God that doesn't give up and quit on his people, on his sheep. Praise the Lamb. Look at this. Fools, because of their transgression. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near the gates of death. These are those who wouldn't let the Lord sanctify them of the sin of their sins. They were yet to be freed from. They came to Christ. They went to church. They read the Bible, but they got discouraged. They said, I just can't get victory over this. They didn't learn that the victory is through the grace of God. It's not by trying harder. It's not by earning it. It's by looking to the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so somehow they got discouraged. And they gave up on letting the Holy Spirit sanctify them. And those sins the Lord wanted to deal with, the temper, the pride, whatever it was, they held on to it. It says, fools, because of their transgression. The Lord says, come out from among them and be separate. They chose to, I know God says I need to be married, but I just want to live with this person, and they're not ready to be married. And you're a child of God. Look what it says happened. It says they abhorred all manner of food. They drew near the gates of death. They thought they could hold on to some of the things that the Lord said let go of, and sickness and disease set in, and they lost all appetite. They were wasting away without a rescue. Verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. See that? That verse keeps repeating. No matter what kind of trouble the sheep got themselves into, when they cried out to the Lord, he came to the rescue. That's our God. It says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. My friends, Jesus still rescues the ones who've wandered from him. There is no captivity he can't save us from, no bars of brass or iron he can't break. If you're here today and you find yourself a lost sheep, a sheep who's wandered, Jesus brought you here and he's coming to rescue you. All he's looking for is your cry. All he's looking for is the bleeding of the sheep. The sheep, when they're lost on the mountain or they're lost in the wilderness, all they can do is go, baa, baa. That's all they can do is cry out. That's what the shepherd responds to. Will you cry out to him? He doesn't say, fix yourself. He doesn't heap on you condemnation, say, how did you get here? He doesn't say, look at this pile of sin. Now you got a pile of works to get out of this and earn back my favor. No, thank God, no. He says, come, I'll wash you, I'll heal you, I'll put you on my shoulders. You say, I haven't read the word in 15 years. It doesn't matter. He'll feed you his word again. He'll make it digestible. He'll make you grow. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Will he hear your voice today? Just as it's Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He knows your voice. He knows the specific tone and intonations and sound of your voice. It's like a fingerprint. He knows it. He said, I want to hear it again. I want to hear your voice again. Song of Solomon says, your voice is lovely. You're altogether beautiful to me. How is that possible? that he could say that to a sheep that wandered from him, that's dirty and cut up and bleeding and starving. And he says, I want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. Just cry out to me. I'll take care of everything else. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for such an incredible heart that you have, God. We can't even grasp it. I thank you that there is no disunity in the heart and the mind of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, that you are all together toward us and for us. Jesus. Lord God, I pray that if there's any here today, Lord, that know that you were speaking to them in this message. They say, I'm the bummer sheep, or I'm the wandering sheep, and I want to be rescued. God, I pray that you rescue them today. I can only do what you show me to do, and that's share what you've shared with me. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would rescue your sheep today. And every time that Oxano Church meets and prays, God, that you'd be working rescue for people. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lamb of God. Praise you, Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. I want to invite you to come to this altar and just to pray. God spoke to you somehow, some way today, and you want to return to Christ. Maybe it's you've wandered and you can relate to Psalm 107. In some way, you've gone back. You've stopped listening to his word. You've rebelled, whatever. Jesus is just saying, come back. Just come back to me. I love you. I'll carry you. This is what he's doing in this generation. He's going after those scattered sheep because he's love. Because that's his nature. That's his heart. So I open this altar to you to come up here and just pray and ask God. Let him hear your voice. Let him hear your cry. Let him hear you. Praise you, Jesus. You can play. Hallelujah. We're just going to spend some time up here praying, and then we're going to take communion. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. If you want to come up here also, I want to invite you to come up. If you want to come up in behalf of someone else, to intercede for someone else that you know is a lost sheep, that they don't understand the love of God. Maybe they're not saved yet. Or maybe they have been saved and they've wandered away and they're living in darkness. They're living in chains. I want to invite you to come up here as a church and to intercede for them. Maybe it's a lost loved one that you've lost hope for. Maybe it's someone you stopped praying for. You once believed, but now you don't anymore. I want to invite you to intercede for them. I want you to invite you to wrestle for them. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Draw your sheep back to yourself. Draw them to you, Jesus.